And it's about 25 minutes past the hour, 5 o'clock. Of course, you're tuned to WTIP right here at 90.7. And we have joining us here on the Roadhouse right now by telephone, Jonathan Nutzman. And Jonathan is a student leader of the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project. An event happened just recently at the Solar Challenge at the Indianapolis Speedway. And the Solar Vehicle Project from the U of M came in first place, so a very exciting time for Jonathan Nutzman. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you're the student leader of that group, and you're also, I believe, an underclassman.
Yep, I am a junior right now in electrical engineering.
And because of, is it all engineering students that would work on a project such as this?
No, we actually have students from quite a few different majors at the U. We welcome anybody from any major that wants to join.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to put together a solar car, pretty much from the start, because you're re-engineering each time that you enter a car. I think it's every 2 years.
Yep. We build a new car every 2 years, and we start the design cycle of something we call reverse engineering, where we take a look at the previous car and figure out why they did what they did, and then start over on designing the next one.
Does that mean the thing runs backwards or what?
No, it's just taking a look at kind of what they did and then trying to figure out how they did it.
And to try to improve upon that.
Yep, exactly.
Effort. Yeah, and how many cars are entered in this? How many colleges take part?
In this last race, it was 10.
Okay.
Usually on the odd years, it's a few more than that when they do the cross-country race.
Oh, I see. So there's different races, different years.
Yeah, so this year it was just a track race at the Indianapolis track, and then last year, and then again next year, they're going to do a cross-country race.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular part, I know you were the student leader, but was there a particular aspect of the car that you concentrated on, or were you more or less kind of looking over everybody's shoulder?
No, I actually concentrated on the electrical system.
Okay. And I believe you divide that thing up. How do you divide up? Who's going to, what categories are separated into what groups?
Well, we have four design teams, the electrical team, aerodynamics team, mechanical team, and then the solar array team. So when a member comes to us and wants to join, we let them kind of choose depending upon what their specialty is and what they're most interested in, which team they want to work on. And then from there, we kind of split down everything that each one of those teams has to do into, like, sub-projects.
When you've got people just kind of joining in and you don't really know their backgrounds, you don't know just how much they know about these particular things. It's got to be a challenge to be a leader, to make everything work in all of those four categories.
Oh, it most definitely is. The trick is kind of communication between all of them and making sure that, you know, the mechanical team is making a chassis that's going to fit inside of the shell that the aero team is designing. And just making sure that the communication that has to happen actually does.
Yeah, so you're sharing information all the time, so we're not building a, you know, a 4-foot thing to fit in a 2-foot space or something, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was thinking just about the solar array part of it a little bit, and you got to understand, I don't know much about it, but you've got a solar array panel there to charge the car, or is there a panel on the car? How does that work?
The top of the car is coated with solar cells.
Okay.
So you get to start the race with a full battery pack.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the start of the race, you're not allowed to charge it at all. So the solar array that's on top of the car brings in energy while you're driving, and then you're allowed to charge for 2 to 3 hours before and after the race, or before and after each race day.
So that's,
in order to fill up the battery again.
That solar array, or solar array that's on top, the cells that are on top of the car, they're not enough to keep ahead of what's being used. They just help lengthen the car's life?
It just depends on how fast you're going. It depends. The amount of sun kind of gives you a break-even point, which is usually somewhere between 40 to 60 miles an hour, depending upon how good your solar cells are and how much sun you have in any given day.
So if you lived in San Diego, you could conceivably never have to turn on the other charger.
Yeah, potentially.
That's pretty amazing.
As long as you're driving during the day, yep.
Now, how fast does the car go then?
This one should be able to go over 80.
Wow.
We got it up to about 72 miles an hour before, but just never really had the chance to max it out.
I think I go slower every year. 80 is beyond what I have to see these days. But, of course, these cars are not really built, you know, they're not station wagons.
Nope.
They're lightweight.
Yep.
That's got to be a factor, too.
Yeah, they're definitely built as a race car.
Do you try to minimize the battery size so that you don't have the weight, or do you have to have a good-sized battery in case it's cloudy?
You want to maximize the energy density of the battery. So you're given a weight limit of the battery. So like for the current car, it's 30 kilograms. And then from that, I guess, no, 25 kilograms, sorry. Anyway, from that, you want to fit basically as much energy in there as possible. So you make the battery as heavy as possible up to that limit, and then get the best battery cells that can hold the most energy so that you have it if you need it.
So the size limit of the battery is 25 kgs?
Yep.
And that, for people who don't know, that's like 60 pounds?
Yeah, about.
Okay. And what does the whole car weigh? I know this latest one, I know you were concentrating on weight.
It's 389 pounds, plus the driver.
Well, that's pretty light car.
That's really light. Yeah, it's actually one of the lightest that were in the competition.
You get a stiff breeze, you might just blow off the road. It's quite a feat, you know, to win this race, I'm sure. Is it a race for speed, or a race laps in a certain amount of time, or how does this work?
It's the number of laps in 3 days of racing.
Okay.
So it was 23 hours that we had the car out on the track.
Did you have any mechanical or engineering problems during the race?
Nothing major. We were able to do what they call hot pits all the time, where you fix everything like right on spot if something were to go wrong. It was mainly just tire changes and then a few little minor electrical issues.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have to go to the cold pits, where you actually pull the car off the track and work on it kind of away from the track at all during this race.
And a trip there might really put you behind the other teams.
The key to winning a solar race is staying out on the track racing as much as you can.
Do they ever let you drive that thing?
I have. I didn't get to drive it on the race, but it's a blast.
I suppose at the race, you want somebody pretty light in the cockpit.
You're actually required to have somebody that's 80 kilograms or heavier.
Oh, no kidding.
And if they're not 80 kilograms, then you have to put a ballast in the car to weight it down even more.
Like a six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. I'd have to have something in that thing. If it's 80 kilograms, I'd be a little bit light. So, yeah, now, the school has been doing this, I believe, since '93.
Yep.
Where does the funding come from to keep this thing going?
It comes from a lot of really generous, both individuals and then companies around Minnesota, and then a few nationally as well. So we get a lot of materials and other things that we need to actually build the car donated, as well as cash for events and just general things we have to purchase from companies as well.
Uh-huh. How much time do you spend yourself? You're going to school.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of other things going on. This is a major project for 2 years. How much time a week do you spend on getting this car going?
Too much.
Yeah?
Probably 30 to 40 hours a week, I would say.
Wow, that's like another full-time job.
Pretty much.
And, whoops,
no.
My co-host, I think, was getting his microphone ready. I think he's got a question.
No. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't.
I guess it's just ready.
It's just I want it to be right here in case I do have a question.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. So, I mean, this is huge. Mm-hmm. That much time spent on a project like this, it takes a lot of dedication. Were there times there where it's a little discouraging, or is there always high energy in your group?
It gets to be a little bit... a little bit much sometimes, like right before the race, and you have to spend, you know, every night in the shop getting the car ready and getting everything packed. But
pressure's on then.
But yeah, it's really exciting when you get the car working and get to see it coming together and drive for the first time.
How many students were involved in the process? You had four groups, but how many youngsters?
There's about 200 people or so that are involved in the design cycle of a car.
Wow.
And then probably 50 or 60 that are really active at any given time.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
To coordinate that many people, I mean, it's like herding cats sometimes, isn't it? Doesn't everybody want to do it their way?
Yeah, there's definitely points for points of argument. But
yeah, well, that's a pretty impressive, and especially when you come out with a car. And I did go to the website, and by the way, maybe you could tell people where to find that website.
Sure. Yep, it's www.svp.umn.edu.
Uh-huh.
And then we also have a Twitter and Facebook that you can follow us on, and we'll post some updates there.
I'd never find those, but maybe the Facebook one.
Yeah.
On the car, you mentioned it could go up to 80 miles an hour, and you're doing a race that basically is counting laps.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to kind of figure out, well, how fast should we be going for how long so we don't run out of our charge?
Yep, exactly. There's a whole lot of strategy involved there. And we get a lot of, actually, telemetry data from the car that lets us know exactly how much energy we're using. And then we can calculate how much we have left in our battery pack. And we want to try to target, like, a constant speed for the whole, for each day.
You said telemetry? Telemetry?
Yep.
What does that mean?
That's just letting us know what's going on inside of the car.
Okay.
So there's a whole bus of communication between all of the electrical systems.
Uh-huh.
And it basically sends all of that data to somebody that's sitting on the side of the track. And then they can interpret it and do a bunch of calculations on that to figure out exactly how fast we should be driving.
And then I imagine everybody can argue about that.
Yeah, most definitely.
You've been doing this now, as I said, for like a couple of years, and you just had great results. I imagine you learned an awful lot about solar cars. Do you think this project, and I would think somehow it has to, but this project and projects like this will be the baseline between helping produce better commercial solar cars?
Most definitely. I mean, this is more of a racing team rather than designing like a commercial car. Mm-hmm. But I think the things that we do to this car is definitely applicable on commercial cars as well. Because, like, the car we build isn't really practical to drive on the road because it doesn't have bumpers or anything. You actually need a lead and chase vehicle if you're driving it on streets.
It's got a horn, doesn't it?
It does have a horn, and it's got blinkers, too. But
all you need is a horn.
Yep. But you could definitely put solar cells on some of the electric vehicles now. The trick is just encapsulating them so that they're tough enough and will hold up to the weather and people touching them and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Are these solar panels that you put on the car, are they quite a bit of a weight as well?
Yeah, I think our solar is probably about 40 or 50 pounds.
Is there, as I mentioned, I don't know that much about it, but I hear of things like these solar concentrators.
Mm-hmm.
Would you expect there'll be new ways of collecting that will work out for cars as well?
Yeah, actually, some of the teams, especially that go to, like, the World Solar Challenge in Australia, have played around with collectors. They're actually outlawed in the race that we do.
Oh, I see.
You're only allowed silicon cells that are a certain rating for the price that you buy them. Collectors kind of allow you to bring in a whole lot more light into a concentrated spot and get a lot of energy out of it, which is kind of cool.
Now that you're done with this project, Jonathan, you've had a lot of experience. You've been a leader of a winning team. Was it kind of a downer that now, okay, I'm up?
I got
30 or 40 weeks or hours a week. I don't have to do this now. What do I do?
I'm still stuck as leader. No.
Oh, okay. So
we're actually working on building another car right now.
Oh, you are?
Yep. And I'll be leading probably for hopefully till next spring.
So
as long as I have the time.
Another 2 years?
Another year.
Another year.
Yep.
And this will be for the cross country race then?
Yep.
Okay. And a whole different challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something. That's real dedication, Jonathan. When will you graduate then? I suppose you'll never graduate if you keep working on this car.
Yeah, we've had some members that have had problems with that. But I'm supposed to graduate next spring.
Okay, well, that's great. And will you be going on to further education, or do you have something lined up already?
I'm looking at doing a 5-year master's program where I'll just stay an extra year and get my master's degree.
Okay, and then you'll go out in the real world and build a real car.
Exactly.
These are the real cars you're building now.
Yeah.
Bob, did you have something?
Nope, just fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing process. And I would tell everybody, go on that website and take a look at those cars. They're pretty impressive, and you can go from the first one in 93 all the way up to the present car and really get an appreciation for all the work that these students have done. Jonathan, we want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, boy, best of luck in the future with the this process.
Thank you. And actually, one thing I wanted to mention,
sure.
If you want to get involved with the project at all, we have an Adopt-A-Cell program that we've started with this car,
mm-hmm.
where anybody can donate $10 and actually have their name associated with a cell on the car. And we'll send you updates about what's going on at the project. And
how should they go about that, John?
It's all the information's on our website.
Great.
So if you go to the donate page, there's a little link to the Adopt-A-Cell form.
That's wonderful. Well, thanks again, Jonathan.
Yes, thank you.
Best of luck in the future.
Thanks.